A $2 billion cost of living package, welfare increases, tax cuts. The backdrop to today's budget is a country with full employment and a surplus of $25 billion, boosted by the $14 billion Apple money the government tried not to own. There are up to 10 new tax reliefs and almost as many more in social welfare and cost of living giveaways. Its measures anticipated in today's budget have been hinted at, they've been promised, and they've even been announced by various members of the three-party coalition over the past several months. So, one more time before Ministers Chambers and Donoghue do it for real at lunchtime today. Our economics and public affairs correspondent David Murphy is here to talk us through the shape, the size and the fine print of Budget 2025. David, let's do big picture first, because we've had the Celtic Tiger budgets, we've had the so-called election budgets and we've had austerity budgets. How would you characterise what we're going to see today in Budget 2025?
Well, I think, Mary, it's going to be a pre-election budget, and that is going to involve a lot of spending. Normally, with the budget, the big focus is on next year. But what we will see today is a lot of spending targeted at this year and next year. And there will be a lot of one-off payments. And I think that that will actually change the numbers quite considerably, because if they're expenditure increases this year, it also has a knock-on effect in terms of next year. And the question is, will they be accused of adding fuel to the fire of an already very healthy economy where almost everybody who wants a job can get one? And will it be seen as a very expansionary budget? Or is there a possibility that they will be seen to spend money wisely on infrastructure where it's badly needed in terms of water, electricity and housing?
And they have been warned, of course, by people like the Fiscal Advisory Council, the Central Bank, the ESRI and all, about adding fuel to the fire, as you say. But let's break it down now into its main elements. And if you start by telling us what is anticipated in maybe personal taxation measures today.
Well, I think in terms of personal taxation measures, we expect that the universal social charge will reduce from 4% to 3% on incomes between €25,000 and €70,000. The point at which people pay the higher rate of tax will rise by €2,000. So you would only pay that higher rate of 40% tax on incomes over €44,000. We would expect there would be an increase to the minimum wage, maybe of around 80 cents, bringing that to €13.70 per hour. That's slightly lower than had been recommended to the government by the Low Pay Commission. And then we expect there will be increases on social welfare of €12 weekly for pensioners, carers, disability and job seeker recipients.
Talk to me around the whole question of childcare as well, because is it anticipated that parents of young children will be big winners today?
Well, I think there are a few things there. One of the more notable ones will be two double child benefit payments by Christmas. And that's bigger than they've done before. Obviously, it's something that's going to happen this year. It'll be this year's expenditure. And then there is something which the Green Party was trying to win in its budget negotiations, which is a so-called baby boost. It's a payment of €420 after the birth of a baby. So I think there will be a number of measures there for parents.
These spendings you said targeted for this year as well, will they include a number of these anticipated one-off cost of living measures?
Yeah, I think in terms of the one-off cost of living measures, one of the interesting ones is going to be the energy credit. It's going to be two payments or two energy credits of €125 each. Now, the interesting thing about this is that as of today as well, the regulator for the energy market will be ensuring that there's more money paid by energy users to go towards the grid. And that's actually going to cost consumers about €38 a year. So that should be borne in mind as well. The other credit that's going to happen is a tax credit for renters. It's going to be, at the moment, it's €750 per annum. There's going to be a credit of €250 for this year. And then the overall credit will go up to €1,000 next year. So there'll be a credit there as well.
And stay with housing. Will there be further measures announced there?
I think the big one is probably going to be the extension of the Help to Buy scheme. So this is a scheme whereby people who are trying to save a deposit can claw back money from the revenue commissioners of up to €30,000 and use that for a deposit for a house. The scheme was due to run out at the end of next year. It's now going to be extended until 2029. Now, that's something that Fianna Fáil has been pushing for, particularly in negotiations. It is something that is quite controversial in the sense that some economists argue that it actually adds to house prices, while the government says that it stimulates the supply of houses. Either way, it is going to be extended.
We talked about a surplus of €25 billion. That includes the Apple money, some €14 billion. Will we get an indication today of how that's going to be used?
I think it's going to be fairly broad brushstroke indications that it will go to the water infrastructure with Uisce Éireann, the electricity infrastructure and the Land Development Agency. But it's going to be quite important that they send a signal that they're going to use that money wisely, and what they do isn't going to add to inflation. I think that's going to be the critical part of the kind of long-term planning from today's budget. It's also interesting that those three areas are the areas which have been highlighted by the multinationals as areas where Ireland needs to spend more money. And that, in a way, is how they're going to look at spending some of the Apple money, which, as you say, they tried not to receive, but it has been received, and it's going to fall into this year's accounts. The payment of that money will be made this year and next year, okay, but it's going to make up that surplus of €25 billion, that and a very significant increase in corporation tax, which is being paid by multinationals by the end of the year.
Lots to come from you throughout the day, David Murphy. Thank you, and we'll have more on the politics and the economics of this budget later on in the programme. And RT will provide extensive coverage of the budget across digital, radio and television. On this station, the budget speeches will be broadcast live on a specially extended News at One with Rachel English from 1:45. It's 27 minutes past seven. Has a Minister for Finance ever looked into the state till and seen such a bumper drawer of cash for him to spend? In Celtic Tiger days, it was stamp duty that delivered. Today, it's corporate taxes. Jack Chambers will present his first budget today, and it's coming with promises of spending increases, tax cuts, a huge €2.7 billion welfare package and €2 billion in cost of living measures, many to be delivered before Christmas. There's a €25 billion surplus boosted by the €14 billion Apple cash. Paul Cunningham is our political correspondent. Morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Being cash rich, it's a jammy position for a finance minister, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
If he's looking across the water at Rachel Reeves and the black hole in the British economy, he'll certainly be pleased with himself. But there's a balance. And what is the balance that he and old hand Pascal Donoghue will be trying to strike today?
Well, what they'll be saying they're trying to achieve is a sustainable budget which strikes a balance, I guess, between preparing for tomorrow via money going into long-term infrastructural projects and savings, as well as responding to the cost of living pressures today. So that's the broad theme of the budget. But you're right to say they're jammy. I mean, they've got these bumper tax receipts, absolutely massive, which means that they can spend on big things like infrastructure, the electricity grid and housing. They can cut taxes on average of €1,000. They can increase spending, and at the same time they've got one-off measures. We're learning new things every few minutes. The latest now, further in higher education, Minister Patrick O'Donovan is going to tap a surplus in the National Training Fund and get €600 million, €100 million a year for the next 6 years. On and on it goes. The concern obviously is going to be, and we've heard whispers of this, is that this could be an expansionary budget. budget, a giveaway budget, a pre-election budget, which could increase inflation. And what we have to do is wait and see what is announced. But by God, this is going to be the electoral battleground which this coalition government is going to fight the next general election.
We'll talk some more about that general election and that battleground in a minute. But the cabinet is meeting this morning. Is there still haggling going on?
No, this is all done and dusted now. Unless there's something happening that we don't know, it was all locked off last night around 10:30.
All right, you ranged far and wide there over the capital spending and the more direct targeted spending in relation to cost of living measures and so on. If we're looking at, I suppose, you know, breaking it down simply into winners and losers, is everyone a winner, or are there some big winners here as opposed to others?
I think you can be quite binary. I mean, I think parents of children are winners. They will already benefit from the tax changes and whatever spending increases, but they're going to be beneficiaries insofar as that, you know, in the past two budgets, the cost of childcare was halved. Now there's a double child benefit in both November and December, and from January, a baby boost, a special one-off payment of €420 for newborns. They'll also see a €15 weekly increase in maternity, paternity and parents' benefits. So, yes, there are winners in Budget 2025. I mean, what opposition parties will say is still trying to find a childcare place is a huge problem. And once again, that's where the tension's going to be.
Are there losers? And I'm thinking here about, you know, the hard lobbying that's been done by the hospitality sector over a long period of time to go back to the 9% VAT break. But that's not happening, according to your own reports even earlier.
No, it's not going to happen. They did lobby hard, as did the Enterprise Minister, Peter Burke, who took up the charge for them. And the debate was going up until yesterday, but we learned around 11 o'clock last night it didn't happen. Cue the charge from Adrian Commons of Restaurants Association of Ireland, who said on social media, hundreds of food-led businesses are now at risk of closing. And that's not the reaction the government wants on a bumper budget day. So what they're trying to say is that they may not get the VAT cut, but they will get other things like a €4,000 flat rate payment to retail and hospitality businesses with a rates of less than 30,000. Thresholds for VAT will go up, and they're also going to have increased income tax credits, and also sick days are not going to go up as they were due to go in January, and also there's a deferment of auto enrolment. But watch that one. That one is a sore one.
With an eye to a possible general election before Christmas, how, and we were talking to David Murphy about this earlier, that, you know, a number of these measures, cost of living measures in particular, will kick in before Christmas. But what are the steps needed to make that happen?
I mean, basically what we're going to be doing is listening to what the Finance Minister and Public Expenditure Minister are going to do. Then you've got two big bills, the Social Welfare Bill and the Finance Bill, which have to go through the Dáil. The Taoiseach, Simon Harris, has said that's going to take a matter of weeks, but we'll be looking for any indications that you could have a slimmed down version of either of those. So there's still an awful lot to watch. This speech which is coming up, it is really important. It's only then we can pass judgment on Budget 2025.
And, you know, if, as they say, eaten bread is soon forgotten. Do they need to, you know, timing is everything, do they need to have these measures kicking in around about the same time as we might hear a date for general election?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely certain that now that the budget is going to be out of the way, that the coalition leaders are going to take a long, hard look at general election timing. It has to happen. Their backbenchers believe that delivering their fifth budget is effectively fulfilling their mandate, and they're straining at the bit to go to the country. You know, they're saying we're flush with cash now. Why give Sinn Féin more time to recover? And they also say we don't know what's around the corner in a cold January. So the pressure is on. And as part of that, the budget is such an important piece of legislation that has to go through. So you do that quickly, it still leaves you the possibility of doing something in November, even though that's something that Simon Harris has not said he's going to do, but things change.
I'm interested in what you'll be looking for in the aftermath of the budget. I'm thinking particularly about, you know, it's a three-party coalition and how each party will be claiming its involvement, its fingerprints on this budget, and whether they will stand together or start to break apart.
Yeah, I think the cohesion is going to be interesting to watch. The Taoiseach has said he wants his government to end well, and by that it means that they sort of agree on a policy of how they're going to go forward. But if you're looking at sort of, you know, what the parties are going to claim, well, the Green Party is going to claim those initiatives in relation to childcare. And when it comes to Fianna Fáil, well, they're going to say the big change in the 1% reduction in the universal social charge, and also the Help to Buy scheme being expanded, they're big wins for them. And Simon Harris will sort of refer back to Ardèche saying, He wanted to have income tax thresholds changes, inheritance tax changes, stamp duty hike on bulk purchasing of apartments, and on and on. So each of the parties at the moment has something to claim. But the question is, and that's why it comes back to that coalition leaders meeting, can they agree between themselves on what the approach should be? Or is it something that would fall apart? And all of the evidence is that these are three leaders who are going to try and secure agreement and try and go together. Even if they've got different identities in the general election, they're going to be saying, this is what we did for the past 5 years. It's to their advantage to be able to secure an agreement.
Mm. Paul, thanks a million. That's Paul Cunningham, our political correspondent. Our coverage on here on RT of Budget 2025 will be across digital radio and television. On this station, budget speeches will be broadcast live on a specially extended News at One with Rachel English. That's from 12:45 today. It is 8:30. News headlines from Brian Jennings. The Cabinet meets at government buildings this morning to approve Budget 2025, which was finalised by the coalition leaders last night. Minister for Finance Jack Chambers and Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform Pascal Donoghue will announce the budget details in the Dáil from 1 o'clock. Our reporter Kate Varley spoke to people in Maynooth yesterday to get a sense of what they're hoping to hear in this budget.
It's ridiculous prices for houses. You know, 500,000 is nothing. No one can afford that.
It's nearly a job trying to find accommodation the whole summer before college even starts.
Housing for young people must be a real problem.
On the streets of Maynooth on the eve of the budget, the issue of housing looms large in the minds of both young and old.
I'm hoping they do something for people that for housing. There's lots of families living in hotels, emergency accommodation, all that kind of stuff. I work in an area where I come across this a lot, I see it. Like my son, he's heading off to Australia now because there's no point in staying here. You can't buy a house. So, yeah, I think people's standard of living is quite good, but if you can't buy a house, you can't find somewhere to live and raise your family, it's not really worth anything, really, you know.
And it's not just housing costs concerning people here. Rental supply is also a huge issue, especially in a university town like Maynooth.
It's searching Daft, it's searching the student pad, and it's ringing number after number. You're just really ditchy bouncing from wherever you can get. Coming to college isn't an experience anymore, it's nearly a hassle.
I think just the option of more money to help you or to like put up more houses for students, especially like in Maynooth, like it's basically all students here, so it's just, it'd be a lot easier.
I think anyway with the budget that could help commuters transport wise or the people living up here rent wise would do a massive, massive help for anybody. Yeah.
Housing is one of a number of issues concerning people here in Maynooth. From childcare, healthcare, cost of living and welfare supports, there are hopes that this so-called giveaway budget will bring good news.
More for parents working and childcare, that would be the main thing, to be looked after a bit better.
We're hearing that there might be two double child benefit payments made before Christmas. Will that help things a bit?
It'll help, absolutely, but then all the bills have increased. So any little bit at all will definitely help a bit, yeah.
I want to see more support for children with autism and other disabilities and support for their families. My own grandson is autistic, mildly autistic, but even to get basic things for him, it's we have to pay for them, you know, and it would be nice to have some assistance.
I think perhaps education might benefit from a bit more funding, and definitely health. The facilities, the nurses, the beds.
All I'd like to see is my pension go up a bit. That's what I would like.
And we're hearing it could go up by €12 a week. Would that help?
Oh God, it would help. Everything helps.
Hi Eve, I'm Katie. I'm going to be looking after you today. What are we doing for you today?
Businesses here are also keenly awaiting the details of the budget. Katie O'Callaghan is the manager of Ziba Hair Salon in the Manor Mills Shopping Centre.
We would like the VAT rate cut back down to 9%, just we feel since it's gone back up, and I know the Irish Hairdressing Federation and everything has been fighting for that to come back over the last number of years, that the 9% VAT rate reintroduced would be brilliant.
How is business at the moment? What impact is that higher VAT rate having on business?
It's just more cost on clients, and then obviously with the cost of living and stuff as well, so we would see clients separating their appointments out a little bit longer. Obviously there's other expenses on them as well, so that would impact their services in salon.
Ready on table two.
It's a view shared by David Moran, the owner of Ya Burger in Maynooth Town Centre.
I think a lot of people like myself would hope to hear a lifeline which is essentially focused on the 9% VAT. And it will allow us all to keep going till Christmas and well into 2025.
How are things at the moment?
Yeah, we've seen the closures all over the country. It's not a coincidence. This is all due to rising costs, the VAT rate, and other various things that are out of our control. We're busy as ever. We just can't seem to have anything at the end of it.
And that was Kate Varley in Maynooth. And we heard there from businesses calling for the VAT rate for hospitality to be reduced. Well, on his way into Cabinet a short time ago, Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Pascal Donoghue, said that change will not happen, but there will be other supports.
Because every budget has to make choices. Every budget can't deliver everything that is expected of us. But there are many other measures contained within the budget that I believe can make a very positive difference to small businesses across the country. Measures from a spending point of view will be outlined today to help businesses at a particularly costly time, and changes will be made that will be important for small businesses from the point of view of the taxes they pay. So many other changes are happening. The most important thing, of course, we can do to support small businesses and indeed employers of all sizes within our country is have a healthy economy that's capable of continuing to grow in the future. And this budget will deliver that.
And that's Minister Pascal Donoghue, and we'll hear a lot more from him and the Minister for Finance later on, and you'll hear them here on RTE Radio 1 in a special budget special with Rachel English at 1:45.